Can I have a couple of people help me with the communion? And we'll... This is the reason that we're not panicked over the COVID bug. Amen. Paul said to rightfully, he said to discern the body of Christ. He said it, you know, actually Paul only gave one reason for Christians to be sickly and direly among us, is they don't discern the body of Christ. So remember, if there's one thing, there's always an anti. So if we do discern the body of Christ, we can expect to have healing in our bodies, have wholeness in our bodies. You know, you can get to such a place where, you know, the devil could attack you and it just bounces off without you even knowing about it. You know, Joyce Myers, she went just for a general physical one time, and the doctor found a tumor in her back. But he said it was already dead. You know, when we rely and trust on the goodness of Jesus and what his death, burial, and resurrection done for us, we can expect good things in our lives. Amen? Now this bread, if you'll notice, this bread is made without yeast. And in the Bible, yeast is very significant of sin. Now we're discerning the body of Christ. This is his body. Jesus was certainly without sin. And in this bread, there's stripes. And it's by his stripes that we were healed. This bread has been beaten flat. Jesus was certainly beaten and bruised for us. And this bread has been pierced. And Jesus' body was pierced. And everywhere he shed his blood, we got redemption in some area of our lives. And this bread is slightly burned. When Jesus was on the cross, the full wrath of God's fiery judgment, the judgment that was meant for us, was laid on him. Now we can stand in his presence as the very righteousness of God, because Jesus made us that way, and we can receive of his goodness. Jesus, your body was broken. We thank you for everything that you did for us. We take this so we can have your healing, your life in us. See, this bread even tastes better than those plastic rice wafers, don't they? Jesus shed his blood on purpose. It was not spilled. It was not accidental. It was very intentional. He shed his blood for our redemption. Our redemption from the curse of the law. Our redemption for everything that Satan attacked us with. His blood was shed and it remitted our sins. It completely washed them away. And now because of his blood, we have access to God. And we thank you, Father, for this. In Jesus' name. Praise God. You guys are wiggling like maybe you're expecting me to say something. Are you going to children's church today? Hey, but before you go, I got to ask, did you help make that cake?
Yes.
Was that the cake that I seen smeared all over your face?
Yes.
Well, it must be good cake.
Yes.
Okay. Well, praise God. We'll continue on with our study that we've been studying for several Sundays. And, you know, when Jesus was on the cross, He said, it is finished. And we found out that there were 16 things that came that were finished when he said that. And I was just curious. I wanted to find out the significance of the number 16, you know, because God never does anything by accident. But the number 16 is strongly associated with love and its manifestations. That certainly was Jesus. When he was on that cross, that was the ultimate manifestation of his love for us. Amen. Well, last week we found out that we have peace between God and us. That's good news. The 11th thing that we find out is that he paid the death penalty for all men. You got to understand that according to the law, if you broke the law, the penalty for breaking that law was death. Amen? Here's a curious thing. Now, there was some things that if you broke the law, you got scourged. Amen? See, and that's why Pilate had Jesus scourged. He was hoping he could just have him scourged and turn him loose. Because Pilate knew that Jesus didn't do anything to deserve death. But Jesus knew that if he didn't get on the cross, he could not set us free from the curse of the law. And it says, cursed is anyone that hangeth on a tree. He had to do that to redeem us from the curse of the law. So he took both of them. He took the scourging for our healing, and he took the cross to deliver us from the curse of the law. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 21. Or excuse me, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. One of the biggest things about the Bible, if you really find out and you really start studying, is there's always, ever since Adam got kicked out of the garden, there's always been a challenge with man being in right standing with God. And that's what righteousness means, is being in right standing with God. When the people were in right standing with God, the blessings came on them. When the people were not in right standing with God, that curse of the law would get on them. Now, you have to understand that because of the blood of Jesus, you have been put into right standing with God. Why? Because what was wrong between you and God was sin. And Jesus washed that away. And he puts you in right standing with him. Don't ever let anybody talk you out of that. And don't ever let anybody ever try to talk you into trying to earn your way into right standing with God. You know something? You do not have the ability to do things good enough to be in right standing with God. That's why we are to believe on him and what he did in his death, burial, and resurrection. We put our faith in his blood and everything that he did for us. Amen. Now, Jesus is our righteousness. Amen. That's good news. You want to know why? We could not ever keep the law. Amen. Jesus is the only one that ever fulfilled the law. None of us could ever have the ability to do that. None of us. There's some people running around that act like they can keep the law, but they find themselves in the same boat as the Pharisees. You see, the Pharisees, they brought the law down to such a low level that they thought they could keep the law. You know, and then they run around and they tell people, you shall not fall into adultery. Well, that was the law. But Jesus told them, said, you don't even look at a woman with lust in your eyes because you've committed adultery. That's the law. See, he brought that law back up to his standard. See, the law in itself is developed to bring man to the end of himself so that he sees the need for a Savior. Amen? It's pride to think that you can be good enough to attain to a certain level of righteousness that you deserve a blessing. You can't attain to that. You can only receive it from God. Amen? Believe in the blood of Jesus. And thank God for 1 John 1:7 that says that if we walk in the light as He is in the light, the shed blood of Jesus continually cleanses us from all sin. We make mistakes. Amen? We are in these earthen vessels. But guess what? Jesus Christ in me, the hope of glory. God in us that keeps us going. Amen? Now, I chase that rabbit as far as I can. Verse 14 says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. You know, there are a lot of people sitting around wondering what the will of God for their life is. Right there is the will of God. Somebody told you that Jesus loved you, that Jesus died on the cross for you, and that if you ask him to be your Lord and Savior, you'd be saved. Amen? Now you go tell somebody else that God is not mad at them, that if they believe that God raised Jesus back to life, and ask him to be their Lord, he'll do the same for them. How hard is that? That is the will of God for your life. We've all been called to be witnesses unto his resurrection. Amen? Now, verse 19 says, to it that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses upon them, unto them. He wasn't holding their sins against them. Jesus took care of that. He paid for their sins. Sometimes it's a terrible thing, but it runs rampant in the church. We know we've been called to be witnesses. And we see the guy, the back of his beer, the back of his truck is full of beer cans. And we know that he cheats on his wife. But we know he's not born again. But we know he needs to be born again. But a lot of people will say, you know what that guy does? He's a total rat fink. Now, you are holding his sins against him. When God's not even holding his sins against him. He told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, everybody. Amen. And he also told us to know no man after the flesh. Forget what he did. Go tell him that God's not mad at him, that Jesus loves him, and that salvation is available to him. Who knows? He might just quit cheating on his wife and quit drinking. He might even end up in the prayer and worship team. Who knows? It's not that far of a stretch. And we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Isn't that good news? When we put our faith in Jesus, Jesus automatically put us in right standing with God. All debts were paid. All of them. And now you can stand. In fact, when he got raised back to life, you got justified freely by his grace. And now you can stand in the presence of God as if nothing ever happened. He made you a new creature. You know, a new creature has no past. It's important for people to understand this. Your past has been taken care of. Why do I keep remembering it? Because you keep choosing to. Don't dwell on it. Learn from it, but don't dwell on it. Don't let your past define your future. As far as God is concerned, you have a glorious future. You need to find out what he has in store for you. Amen. I was just looking in Revelations 21. I was reading in that this morning, and I thought, this city is made of gold. The buildings are made of gold, pure gold. It's like glass. And I don't know where he found these oysters at to make these pearl gates. One pearl. One pearl makes a gate. That's a big oyster, man. I bet them Cajuns like know where them oysters are at too, huh? I like them too. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Every once in a while, it'll do your heart good to just go read some of the good things that God has for you. Read the blessings that he has for you. Read about all these exciting things that he has for you. Yeah. Yeah. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 says, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." You know, when we get born again, the Holy Spirit moves into our spirit. He makes us alive. He creates us in us a new heart. Not made of stone, but a new living heart. You got brought from death unto life. Amen. You got translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. At that very moment, the Holy Spirit is on the inside of you. That's cool. Because you want to know why that is so cool? Because people in the Old Testament didn't have access to the Holy Spirit like we do. Some of them could get anointed. They could go anoint a prophet, you know, anoint a priest. But everybody was not allowed that privilege. But today, when you make Jesus your Lord, you have access to the Holy Spirit. Why is that so cool? Because that is the creative power of God that raised Jesus back to life. He's the one that moves inside of you and makes you a new special being. That's cool. That's that dynamo power of God on the inside of you. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. When I found out the Holy Spirit moved inside of me, and then when I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he came upon me, you know, and all that, my life changed. Everything just changed. And I was looking at me like I was squirrely. Like, I started singing and stuff, and they're like, I don't sing. What's wrong with me? And I'd ask my pastor, say, hey, what's going on here? He said, well, you remember when you got baptized in the Holy Spirit? Yeah, that's what's going on. I said, okay. And then I started witnessing to people. And then people started getting born again. He does things to you. He does good things to you. He changes you positively. You know, if you look in John chapter 15, don't go there now, but if you look in John chapter 15, you get a really good description of this. See, God is the husbandman. He's our creator. And in this, they have the parable of the vine. You know, and Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. When we stay vitally connected to the vine, we grow. And then all of a sudden, one day, fruit starts growing on you. You know, so I don't know why all of a sudden I'm patient in this situation. I don't know why all of a sudden I'm not afraid in this situation. I don't know why all of a sudden I think I can just do all this stuff. It's God in you. It's that Holy Spirit. It's that dynamo power. Amen? You just got to be willing to roll with it sometimes. Amen? Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9 says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. That's good news for us right there. If there was ever anything that Jesus didn't do, we'd have to do it. Jesus did all the dying that needs to be done. He did all the suffering that needs to be done. I know you've heard people say, I'm just suffering for Jesus. That's nonsense. That's nonsense. Jesus did all the suffering that needs to be done. Now, there is persecution, and we do suffer for that. You know, but that's not a sickness. That's not a disease. That's not a hardship. That's not a poverty. Jesus took all that upon him on the cross and set you free from that. Now, verse 10 says, for it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Did you catch that? Jesus calls you a brother. Or sister, when you're born again, you got the best big brother ever. Not only is he your Savior, but he's your big brother. Think about that. How many of your, I was a runt when I was in school and I got picked on a lot. Every once in a while, my big brother would come in there and put a stop to it. If he could. Well, now, I've got the ultimate big brother. And he puts a stop to a lot of stuff. And I put his words in my mouth and get them in the atmosphere. And there's some people that just don't understand what's going on when they get stopped. That's my big brother. My Savior. Verse 12 says, then, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church while I sing praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God has given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Jesus destroyed him. He took him to the limit. He pummeled him. And he sets you free from that. Too many people are running around thinking the devil is running around getting away with whatever he wants to do. No, he's not. He's been defeated. And they're running around saying the dark is getting darker. The darkness is coming to an end. The light is getting lighter. I'm seeing more and more light in the world. I'm seeing some true light. I'm seeing some people doing things that they never really dared before. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. See, the people are afraid of dying because death is a mystery to them. See, we were not created to die. We were not supposed to die. That was not God's idea. He created Adam and Eve and put them in the garden. He planned on them just going forever. Living and living and living. That death didn't come around until Jesus got in, or until Satan got in there and stole that blessing from Adam and got him to sin. And then that's when death came about. Death is a mystery to man because we were not created to die. Jesus is the only man that was born to die. Amen. He died so that we could live. Praise God. Amen. Let's look over here to Romans chapter 5, verse 6. So, since that clock is running a little weird today, I could take you guys another 20 minutes longer. Or you could just cue me when I'm getting close to 11. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. Says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the gospel right there. That's the gospel right there. Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's the only thing that we can lay our faith in, is Jesus Christ and him crucified. The Holy Spirit raised him back to life. And when we asked Jesus to be our Lord and Savior, he moved on the inside of us. Now, as the sons of God, we can expect to be led by the Spirit of God. That's an exciting thing, to be led by the Spirit of God. It's an exciting thing to hear him tell you when to go, where to go, what to do. It's an exciting thing. You know, you can get into a lot of different deals and have no peace at all in these situations. That's the Holy Spirit saying, hey, maybe you better just step back from this one and watch that deal fall apart. And then you can have situations where there's complete turmoil on, but there's peace in your heart. You know, God will send his sons and daughters into situations to bring peace into situations, bring clarity into situations, bring light into situations. You know, a lot of times people will get into so much trouble, and there'll be just darkness all around, and they need somebody who's led by the Spirit of God to step in there and bring solutions and bring answers in there. I found out one thing, it was an interesting thing, but you know, there's really no darkness. There's just absence of light. If you turn light on, that darkness is gone. And I was reading in Revelation 21 today. That was just a cool chapter, but there's no darkness whatsoever. There'll be no need for a sun, moon, and stars for light because Jesus is there. Amen? And they won't have to close the gate because there's no darkness. There's no enemies. There's no enemies in heaven. What I'm really interested in is getting in that river of life and drinking as much as I can in the tree of life. You know, the leaves are for the healing of nations, and these trees bear fruit every month. I'm wanting to eat some of that fruit and drink some of that water. Amen. That's life. And it's coming straight from God. You should read Revelation chapter 21 today. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1. And we'll close her down with that. I think I've seen a couple of yawns somewhere. This is funny. We preached in a little church up in Wyoming, and there was this one little guy. He'd come to church faithfully every Sunday, and I wouldn't make it 5 minutes, and he'd be. Am I that boring? But then there was another little guy on oxygen, and I'd get to preaching, and that little machine he had would go to rattling like crazy, and I'd think, okay, one of them's sleeping, one of them's about ready to run away. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 says, let's go. Verse 18. For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You can put a lot of weight in that verse. Your redemption is by the blood of Jesus only. There's nothing we could earn. He just told us right there. Said not even silver and gold can cause your redemption to come forth. Only the blood of Jesus. We're justified freely by His grace. We need to accept these things that He's done for us freely. And realize that without Him, we can't even exist. He is our Creator. We are His created beings. Our very next breath is reliant on Him. When we realize these things, how dependent we truly are on Him, and let Him be God in our lives, and quit trying to figure it all out on our own, and just see Him and let Him be our God. That's what He wants. He wants to feed us. He wants to take care of us. He loves us that much. Amen? Just be a recipient of His grace and His love. Amen? Thank you, Father, for this day. We praise You in the name of Jesus for everything that You have done for us. We thank You, Jesus, for everything that You've done for us in Your death, burial, and resurrection. We thank You for everything that You are doing for us right now as our high priest at the right hand of God, making intercession for us, Your saints, providing for us daily all our needs. We thank You for the love that You love us with. We believe the love that You have for us. The same love that You have for Jesus is the same love that You have for us. We thank You for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have coffee and cake and snacks back here, and those little girls worked very hard to make special cake for us. So come on back and fellowship and have a little cake.